record budget.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're in Psalms, Psalm 81. Let's see, I forgot to mark my place here, but it's not a very long psalm, so perhaps we'll just jump to the beginning and to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp, and the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, and our solemn feast day. For this, a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands, of course, now this would be the Creator, or the God of Israel speaking, I removed his shoulder, and of course his shoulder would be the children of Israel in bondage. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I, the Lord thy God, I, Yahuwah, thy God, of course in that instance by name, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. And yes, I did read that whole thing, didn't I? Again. And I left off on the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto me, but their time should have endured forever. So we did finish that one. Let's move on to Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And, of course, the Messiah, when he walked, we have it there recorded in the Gospels, that he said, does not your word say that ye are gods? And, of course, this is what he was, quoting here when he said, ye are gods. And, of course, there we have it, the word Elohim. And speaking of which he said, The word here, I would believe in context, would be judges, because the word is also translated for judges or magistrates. And in context, he's talking about how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? And we see the same thing going on in our land today, the parallels between the wickedness of Israel and their demise and America in its demise are very close, almost identical. We have, if you go to the legislature, those that write the laws and govern the land, or write the laws by which the land is governed and judged, and we even have so many crooked judges there all. Anyway, those who pay them off, they get the laws written their way so that they can rob the people. Why do you think that you have, that all of you licensed drivers out there have mandatory insurance? Why do you think it is? And I think the statistic is that 8% of the fees paid for insurance to the insurance companies for mandatory insurance actually goes to coverage, you know, to cover damages or claims. I think it's something like 8%. And who gets the rest of that money? Well, people get jobs and salaries. And all of those things. You know, if people were self-governing and someone was damaged, they would go to the person and say, pay the damages. Them being righteous, they would pay it. Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be in America. That's why we had a law system that was supposed to work that way. How long will you just judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? They accept the persons of the wicked. And that's only through payoffs. I have said, you are gods, Elohim, the word there, and all of you are the children of the Most High. And a lot of people would like to go with it, we are gods, so we are like God, as if it means more than actually is here. Yes, we are created in the image of God. We are the children of the Most High in that He created us. But who are really the children of God? But those that have been adopted into His family, and those who by faith have accepted what His Messiah did by shedding His blood for them, whose sins are covered by that blood. We are truly His family then. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for Thou shalt inherit all nations. Psalm 83, verse 1. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not Thou silence, O God. Hold not Thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, Thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate Thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against Thy people, and consulted against Thy hidden ones. Thy hidden ones? Yes, talk about that hiding in plain sight. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. That's what the Messiah said. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarines, Gibal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah, do unto them as unto the Midianites, at Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, yea, all their princes as Zebah and the Zalmunah, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, Yahuwah. That's what it says in the Textus Receptus there, that they may seek thy name, Yahuwah. And of course, in the Authorized King James Version, it says, O Lord, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahuwah, and of course it's spelled J-E-H-O-V-A-H by the Authorized King James Version translators. I wonder what they did in the 1611 King James. I'm going to go back there for a second. And yeah, it says Yahuwah. Of course, it has a V. The V, we know, was not pronounced with a V sound in 1611. So it would have been pronounced. They have E-I-E-H-O-V-A-H. And phonetically, that would have been pronounced E-I-A-H-O-W-A-H. Or Yahuwah. That's how you would have pronounced the E-I-E as E-I-A-H. As a Y sound. Interesting. It's a nice tool to have, the E-sword, so you can go look at the original 1611 and not the AV 1611. There's no such thing. I keep hearing that over and over. And then they read out of the Authorized Version, which, like I say, came about 180 to 90 years later, the Authorized Version. From which we're reading today, because we have this great tool here where we can look at it. And I guess it was kind of hard for them, because if you look at verse 16 of Psalm 83, where they translated the 3068 as O Lord, and then you go down two verses to verse 18, and they translate the 3068 as Jehovah or Yahuwah. Because it's hard to not translate the name when it's specifically referring to the name. So specifically, it says, whose name alone is. And I guess in this instance, they felt a need, the 1611 translators, to write the phonetic name from the Greek, Yahuwah, Yahuwah. So there you have it. We have it, chapter 83, verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahuwah, art the Most High over all the earth. So let us, do we seek his name, Yahuwah? Well, I do, and that's why I'm here. And perhaps, I'm not the only one, or perhaps I'm setting the trend for those that love him and seek him. So that his name, perhaps in 20 years or 50 years, it won't be a strange thing anymore, at least for those who seek him. I know it's a strange sounding thing now, because it sounded strange to me a couple years ago. But the more I look, the more I research, the more I use it, the more comfortable I feel with it. So hopefully in 20, 40, 50 years from now, it won't be thought of as a strange thing to use the phonetic name of our Creator anymore, at least for His remnant. Psalm 84, verse 1. To the chief musician upon Gittith. And I forget what Gittith means. Gittith, the pronunciation there. A harp, upon harp. A psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are their tabernacles, Yahuwah of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Yahuwah. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, Yahuwah of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, whose passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Yahuwah, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahuwah, God, is a sun and shield. Yahuwah giveth grace and glory. No good will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Yahuwah of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 85. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And I'm guessing that Korah would be the name of two Edomites or three Israelites, the sons of Korah. Just remember the Korah of the infamous, I should say, Korah from the wilderness experience, and how he led the children of Israel astray, and the earth opened up and ate him. I'm guessing this is a different Korah here. For the sons of Korah, Yahuwah, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. And Selah, of course, there, meaning they have a musical interlude, because all of these were to be set to music. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. I would love to see a revival, as they call it. And that's what the psalm here is expressing. There's a revival in Israel. You have been favorable to the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. You brought them back. Because Israel, when they were during the time of judges and during the time of kings, their good king would arise or a judge would arise and turn the people around. Well, I don't see that the king of America or the president of America right now is going to turn this nation around. Or perhaps, because he is so evil, he could turn the people around. You never know how it's going to turn out. You never know. We could have a reprieve. We could have a resurge of righteousness. I see some glimmers of hope. I see people fleeing the public fool, the idolatry, the public school system. And I encourage people to go to Exodus Mandate. You know, just Google Exodus Mandate and you'll find the fleeing the public school system movement that's going on. I see a great hope in that. And especially if they turn back to the scripture, and especially if the parents are practicing righteousness. I mean, there is an act of obedience, fleeing the idolatrous public fool system that was set up with one purpose in mind, and that was to turn people away from God. I mean, that was the whole purpose of the enemy, to destroy America, to destroy, you know, the lamb-like principles that made this nation great, and by the people that founded, just look into it, the founding of the public school system. Do a little research. But I see a great hope there. And as the government becomes so absurdly wicked in its leaders, and the school systems become so absurdly wicked that they're teaching the children to be homosexuals, they've turned it over utterly to these people that people are getting out, good, bad, or ill, that people are getting out, but there's an act of obedience and perhaps a glimmer of hope. Maybe we can have a real revival. Maybe Yahuwah could be favorable to America and turn back his wrath from this land, that there might be a resurgence of righteousness, of children, of parents teaching their children righteousness, and them teaching their children righteousness, building a... Because, you know, the fact is, I think that most homeschooled people will homeschool their children. Do it. That's what I say, do it. You know, you're thinking about it, you know it's right. Trust in Yahuwah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You don't need the money. You will make it. You know, learn how to save money. Saving money is more valuable than earning more of it. That's right. You know, you don't just look at the dollar amount and say that we're doing well because we're bringing in. Many people live on very little, $20,000-$30,000 a year, and they can make it too. And the mom can stay home and homeschool, or perhaps you can get a few cottage industries going at home where you don't have to be someone else's slave and teach your children those same principles. The Heavenly Father, He rewards obedience. I find it to be true in my own life. And He rewards hard work. You don't have to be slaves, and you can homeschool your... Just be obedient. You know, Yahshua, the Messiah, said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. That's what He was expressing in so many words. And I found that to be true. You don't have to compromise. Homeschool your children. Get out of the socialist security system and trust in Him. Find a way. Make it a goal, and He will reward you for it. Just start being obedient and allowing His Holy Spirit to work in your life. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How many know there's rest in the presence of God tonight? That's right. Let's come to Him.
I will come to you. You have the words of life. I will I hear you calling and now I
sing it together.
I will come to you. You have the words of life.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and we're going through the Psalms. We're in Psalm 85, verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Are you turnable? Are you turnable, or are you just going to go on like nothing happened, like you didn't hear anything? Are you turnable? Or do you think it's A-okay, you can just continue? You don't have to change everything. It must be everybody else is the problem. Are you turnable? Turn us. I mean, can you pray that? Turn us. O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. There's a word in the scripture, repent. What does it mean? Well, it means to turn around. It means to go the other way. It means to change our mind, to turn our mind. You know, I used to think one way. I used to think many things were okay. But because everybody, the majority, was doing it. As a matter of fact, it was being declared and idolized in the music, in the idolatry of romance, and it was a-okay. You know, I mean, you went out there and satisfied your lusts, and you chased women or men with men and another man's wife, and it was all so romantic. And you sang the songs. You turned on the radio and all the pop songs. What are they all? They're all the idolatry of romance. All about, oh, the highest thing, the highest love there is in the world. The love between a man and a woman. Oh, or a man and a man. Or a woman and another man who's not her husband. And things like that. And it goes on and on and on. And it just continues over and over. And they never have enough of it. And always a new generation raising up and regurgitating it and spewing it out in a different fashion with different music and different beats and different sounds. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. His anger will cease when we turn. We say, turn us, but are we willing? He doesn't want robots. You know, he's got plenty of them. You know, jackrabbits cross the field all day long. Birds are flying around in the air. You know, all of the animals, they're like robots, basically. They do what they're programmed to do. Not so with us. Our Heavenly Father, he doesn't use force in his kingdom. He's not forcing anyone to come into his kingdom and obey his laws. He made us in his image. He made us to choose. Will we serve him? Will we do righteousness? Will we love our neighbor as ourself? Do we really believe that all men are created equal? Therefore, my neighbor has the same rights that I have? Or do we believe that we can commit theft and abuse and use our neighbors? And starting with our own family, to believe we can persecute others who convict us of sin? Well, that's where it all leads, doesn't it? It leads there every time. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Well, if we don't turn, he'll be angry with us forever. That's right. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Well, yes. To all generations that will not turn away from their sins. His anger is still there for them. His wrath is upon them. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And of course, he's speaking of national Israel. And this would be applicable to national Israel. Because his people today, represented by the clay, we should rejoice every day in him. So there's no question that thy people may rejoice in thee. We rejoice regardless. We rejoice in the prison cell, you know. We rejoice through persecution and suffering. We rejoice because our reward is in heaven, and our reward will never fade away. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And yes, I could apply this to America. Will he not revive us? I can hope, but I see little opportunity for that hope when I look around. I see a few bright lights out there, one like the homeschooling movement. I see that, but see, I see many of them still clinging to privilege and clinging to the remedies of man, to hope in the political system. No, the only hope is in righteousness, but I see them practicing righteousness, and that is the most important thing of all. If they practice righteousness and they teach their children righteousness, by example, there's our hope. That's the only hope we have, is that we turn to him the God of our salvation. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Well, we'll rejoice anyway, but if the nation turns, we will rejoice all the more. I would like to see it. I mean, if 30 or 40% of the people in the nation, if 30 or 40% of the people, that would be huge. One of the biggest problems for the church and those people that say they're Christians is that they continue to practice the idolatry of romance. I think this is one of the largest issues out there. This is really what's killing the church in America more than anything, is the practice of the idolatry of romance and the practice, the worldly practice, of limiting families and family size, of embracing the wisdom of the world. Because if just 30% of Americans, no, even if 20%, let's say 20% of Americans truly followed him and put off birth control and abortion, truly put it off, and embraced the Heavenly Father's commandment to be fruitful and multiply, why, in one generation, that 20% of the nation, and I think that's a really being optimistic, but in one generation, that 20% of the population could exceed the population of the rest of the nation, which are having, well, what is it? I think it's about even now. I think birth rates and death rates are about even in America. If 20% rose up and said, we're going to have as many children as God will bless us with, and they started having 8 to 12 children per family, oh yeah, that would be obedience to the Creator. Would take over the nation by sheer population. And perhaps America could go on and be a godly nation for a couple hundred years, or for 100 years, or whatever, for a few generations anyway. And that would be something. That's a movement I'd like to see. Do you see the homeschool movement, and then we need the other movement that puts off birth control and abortion and family planning and says, bless us with children. Children are a blessing. And we need to teach our children. And perhaps, you know, I'm in a position where I can't have any more children unless I find me a wife that's willing, because my last wife died. And yes, she died, and when she died, she was 3 months pregnant too. So I lost a wife and a child. But we were believers, and what I'm talking about, I'm willing to practice, to preach it and practice it. And so I'm not just practicing what I would be unwilling. I mean, preaching what I would be unwilling to practice. But I can't do it by myself, obviously. It doesn't work that way. Any good women out there? It's hard to find. Usually, you know, when I go surfing the Christian sites, they flee as fast as they can. Why? Because they hate children. And most of them on these sites say, oh, no way. You know, I have children. You know, they have one or two or none. And I don't want any children. That's the mentality today. They hate God by that proclamation. They hate Him because they hate His law. And you know what? You know what the law of God is? It defines the character of our Creator. Read His law. It defines His character. If you hate His law, then you really hate Him. So you can go around and say you love Jesus all day long. But Yahshua, He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, or Jesus is Lord, or I just love God, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And at the time the Messiah said that, well, if you wanted to know what the will of the Father was, all you had was His law and the prophets. That's what He was talking about. And what was the very first commandment He gave to mankind, even before sin? He said, be fruitful and multiply. The first commandment that He gave the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That has never changed. He never withdrew that commandment, but He just upheld it. continually, and he upholds it by it. The creation is one great witness. The second great witness is the creation itself. The fact that he gave us that instinctual drive to procreate, or at least to do the act of procreation, and they perverted that by birth control and abortion. Well, now you can just have all that pleasure that God gave you as an incentive to fulfill his first commandment to be fruitful and multiply. Now you can just have the pleasure without the heavy burden or the blessing, because it's a blessing. Children are a blessing. You look around, you know, at the end of your life, and what have you got for all your labor? Now, hopefully you have some children that are a blessing, and great, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There, that's what you'll remember, and what you made of their lives, what you taught them, what you showed them, how you shaped them by teaching them the truth and by demonstrating that truth. That's what makes your life worthwhile, not your career, whatever that is. Continuing here in Psalm 81, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, Yahuwah, and O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." I'll take that. I'll take that salvation. There's nothing more important than to make sure I endure to the end, because the scripture says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." I've got my eye fixed on the prize. I'm not turning back from the plow. I will hear what God, Yahuwah, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There you go. You want peace? Practice righteousness. What beautiful words. How poetic. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, Yahuwah shall give good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Righteousness. Now, I define righteousness as to do that which is right in his sight. That's how I define righteousness. Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Bow down thy ear, Yahuwah, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. And, of course, the word there is to be set apart. I am pious. I am one of your saints. David, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And, you know, there's the heart of David. It was said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. Because, well, he said, I cry unto thee daily. And we need to cry unto him daily. And, you know, that's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. Daily we cry unto him. Daily. Not once a week. Not once in a while. Not on certain holy days of the Pope's calendar that we go to, you know, the corporate building. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. And that's why I changed the words of that song, that our God is an awesome God. I say He is the awesome God, because among the gods there is none like unto Him. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. Yes, why not start learning His name now? For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, Yahuwah. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And you know, when I think about where I would be without the Messiah, where I would be without His righteousness, where would I be without repentance, without His Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and teaching me righteousness, writing His law upon my heart, where would I be? Well, I hate to think about it, where I would be. I know where I was going, and it was not a beautiful thing. I am so glad that He came into my life. So these words are just beautiful to me. For great is Thy mercy toward me, that Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Man, I was stubborn when the Heavenly Father adopted me. I was totally backwards. And He is long-suffering and full of compassion. I mean, He suffered me a long time to bring me to the point where I'm at. Beautiful words. David, I can identify with him. I can't say that I'm any better than him. He was a murderer. You know, perhaps I haven't murdered anybody physically. And he was an adulterer. And I can't say that I've done, you know, committed adultery physically. But I'm no better. That's for sure. Because our Messiah, He raised the standard. He says, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. If you look on another man's wife to lust after, you're an adulterer in your heart. He raised the standard. He made none of us better than David, who did the act. Of course, I believe doing the act brings greater consequences in your life, that the Heavenly Father has actually saved us from doing the act of carrying out those things in the physical realm, for most of us anyway, has saved us a lot of suffering that we see was demonstrated in David's life. Though David was forgiven, he still suffered the consequences of those acts in his flesh. So our God, He is merciful to keep us from doing those things, and to save us, for those of us that He has saved from doing those things. Many are in prison, and some are not, that have committed atrocious sins and murder and have gotten off or been, you know, for whatever reason, and have repented of those things. But I believe they still suffer some consequences in their own life and in the lives of their children. Yes, we need to fear. We need to fear God, because He is just, but at the same time He is merciful. For great is Thy mercy toward me, Psalm 86, verse 13. And Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and assembles of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set Thee before them. And we see that, those that assemble and would do violence toward God's people, they do not set, they do not fear God, in other words. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give Thy strength unto Thy servant, and have the son of Thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed. because thou, Yahuwah, hast helped me and comforted me. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Yahuwah loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this is the man, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Yahuwah shall count when he writeth up the people, that is, this man was born there, as well the singers and the players on instrument. All my springs are in thee. And perhaps we'll discuss Psalm 87 next time on Cross the Border, because we are out of time. Well, in everything you say and in everything you do, always praise his holy name. Hallelujah.
Love to be in your presence with the people. Let's stand and sing that. You can clap your hands and be free tonight. Woo!